Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. And it's that time of the week we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Doing well, fellas. How you doing this morning?
Doing great. Appreciate you taking time to join us. So, Charles, we've talked a lot about Derrick Henry this morning on the show, and obviously another vintage Derrick Henry performance on Sunday, 3 touchdowns, 182 yards on the ground. And I said it yesterday. I don't know how much longer Derrick Henry is going to be able to do this at this level. It's been an incredible 3-year run, and longevity certainly a part of the discussion when it comes to running backs and how they stack up with the all-time greats. I called yesterday Derrick Henry already an all-time great running back. Am I crazy? What are your thoughts on Derrick Henry and what he's been able to do the last 3 years and the level that he continues to play at on a yearly basis?
All-time great, small snapshot regular season run.
That's right.
I saw the stat over the weekend, the, you know, career games, 150 plus rushing yards, 2+ rushing touchdowns, you know, the class he was in, Jim Brown, LaDainian Tomlinson, Sanders, Dickerson, Emmitt Smith, pretty amazing. I mean, you know, for what he's done in a little over 3 seasons when he's really cranked it out. I don't know, you know, here's the thing, when you talk about all-time greats, especially, we're not done yet, and it's hard to always have these conversations sort of in progress.
Right.
But they put, and I'm not a Hall of Fame voter, they put Terrell Davis in the Hall of Fame on the strength of 4 seasons. Now, granted, he won 2 Super Bowls and was clearly the reason why I think he got, you know, John Elway over the top. I still am a little stunned that, you know, when you kind of look at the totality of Terrell Davis's career, it was literally 4 seasons and he was a super, and he's a Hall of Famer. Having those Super Bowls is a big deal when you talk about all-time greats. And when you talk about all-time greats, you talk about the Hall of Fame. Would you put Derrick Henry in the Hall of Fame? Say he finishes out this season in spectacular fashion. Say he even hits 2,000 again. Is he a Hall of Famer? Like, do you automatically say, hey, you know what, Terrell Davis, you did it on the strength of 4 seasons. If this guy goes over 2,000 again, even in a 17-game season, do you put him in the Hall of Fame automatically, or does he have to have some postseason success? You know, again, we're talking about this in progress. There were moments where we looked at Larry Johnson in the midst of his career when he was getting a ton of touches for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he looked like a world beater, and then he just completely hit a wall. I don't know if that's going to happen to Derrick Henry or not. I know that when I watch the Titans, I feel best about them when the offense goes through him. You know, seeing the second half, how he played the second half, I was like, okay, that's the Titans team that I've really have loved the last couple of seasons. But you know, he's a great player, and he's unique, and there are very few guys in history we've seen like him. From a size standpoint, from a physical standpoint, it's just these guys do tend to have longevity issues because you take so many hits. But I don't know. You know, he's been a unicorn up until this point, at least the last 3 years. So let's see, you know, if he can last or if it'll be the way it was with, like, Christian Okoye and Eddie George and, you know, some of these other guys where after a while the accrued hits take their toll and it's inevitable that you go from having a running back who's 4.5 to 5 yards a carry, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's 3 yards a carry, and he's having a hard time really doing anything.
Yeah, we've kind of had that discussion the whole, what if he had one more great year? I mean, I think he'd be in the room being talked about, you know? I think those guys would be talking about him. I don't know. It might require, you know, another postseason run too. I mean, like,
yeah,
you said, I mean,
look,
the rings, that's what Davis is all about, right? I mean, it's about the rings.
Sure. It's got to be about the rings. And again, I'm not in that room. I know a lot of the guys who vote, you know, Terrez Taylor before he passed away as a voter, you know, we would have a lot of conversations about the reason why some guys get in. I'm not a big, me personally, if I had been in that room, it's just hard for me to put a guy in on the strength of 4 seasons. And I know some of those guys in that room are going to talk about Gale Sayers. And hey, if you look historically, if a guy's absolutely special, but injuries, you know, cut down his career, which obviously is what happened with Terrell Davis. Doesn't that affect it? Yeah, okay, but Denver also cranked out a lot of running backs who were productive in a zone, you know, in that zone scheme that Shanahan ran. And so how much of, you know, the productivity also had something to do with that? And I watched the guy too, you know, it wasn't like, I mean, I was in college when he was, you know, cranking out those seasons. So it wasn't like I didn't see him play. He was special, but I guess it's all about your preference. Does longevity matter? Does postseason success matter? Those end up being all those conversations that they have in the room. You know, there's a reason why Terrell Owens had the stats to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but wasn't. And I think it's because there's elements of how was he as a teammate and, you know, just how, you know, big game performances in the playoffs and all the, I don't know. It's a very, it is a very liquid conversation in that room. It's
murky. Not, it's murky.
It's yeah. It's, I feel like there's no set real criteria for how any particular vote will go. It's just, is there somebody, I'll tell you this, if he's, say this is it, say he cranks out another 2,000 yard season, but then it, you know, he goes off a cliff here, it's going to be on whoever the presenter is, you know, for him, who can build that argument that, look, in this 4-year snapshot, he was as good as any player in the NFL at the position, and that makes him an all-time great. But the good thing is, we got time, you know, like there's no, to me at least, you know, I still think there's time for this guy to crank out more than what he has at this point. And I also don't see him as, I feel like he punishes guys as much as they punish him. And we'll see though, if that stands up to the test of time, because sometimes you see the sort of how a running back functions, that can change pretty quickly with one key injury. You know, a really bad shoulder injury can change the career of a running back. A really bad knee injury obviously can change the career of a running back. And, you know, the state of an offensive line can change the career of a running back. So there's a lot that still goes into where he's headed.
Okay, let's switch to Robbie's favorite player. Why do people hate Aaron Rodgers?
Yes, thank you.
I want to write about this because it's like people really, when anytime Rodgers gives people the opportunity to turn on him, it feels like people turn on him hard. And that week one, I don't know if you guys saw the CBS crew, you know, they just savaged him over the weekend on Sunday. And sometimes it was funny because I was talking to somebody about this in the league, and I was like, I was trying to think of another quarterback where you could just see people flip on him so hard. And it reminds me a little bit of Cam Newton, where people would, when they like Cam, you know, they like Cam, but when they turned on Cam, it was very fast. Like there was just something about Cam people didn't like, you know, it'd be like, oh, look at how he dresses when he goes to the podium, or, you know, look at the, you know, how demonstrative he is when he scores a touchdown or whatever. I'm like, man, but Rodgers gets some of that. Like, I think there's this element of, I don't know if people think he's smug. I don't know if people don't like this idea that he sort of does things his own way. You know, what happened in this past off season or the way he talks to the media. I know, look, I've been led down the road on stories before that I knew were true that he denied. And I felt like there was an aspect of lying that went into it that really rubbed me the wrong way. But it is remarkable to me, though, how that week one, it was just like the world had ended, you know, for Aaron Rodgers. Like, it was over. And I'm like, man, like, he's going to bounce. Like, it's more than likely he's going to bounce back in week two. And everyone's going to have to eat it, because I just can't see this guy playing at the level that he did last season. And this being what, you know, he's become. He did have a bad week. And frankly, even the Monday Night Football game, he missed some spots. I mean, Valdes-Scandling, if you go back and kind of look at the tape, there were a couple touchdowns there that he missed. He threw behind him, you know, going into the end zone. That was Rodgers' fault. You know, he had him over the top at one point. I think Rodgers even came out after the game and said, like, hey, there were a couple passes where I missed that guy big time. And so it could have been an even better game than it really was for him. But it is remarkable to me how quickly people will turn on a dime. And even people in Green Bay, like, you can, this off season, you know, you would think a guy that accomplished that much, you know, won a Super Bowl, just coming off an MVP, fans would give them a little more latitude. But man, they are definitely a laundry crowd there. They are not. They are not about players. They are about the franchise.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Charles, with all that in mind, what's been the most surprising team to you so far in the NFL? The Raiders at 2-0, Arizona at 2-0. Which team, I guess, has stood out the most to you so far through 2 weeks?
Well, Arizona is a gimme field goal from being 1-1. Like, I think that was the whole entire, I think, tenor of what we're talking about this week with Kyler Murray and MVP and all this stuff. I mean, if the freaking Minnesota kicker makes an easy field goal, it's a different situation. I won't lie. The Raiders, the way Derek Carr is playing, I'll tell you, and I'll be this way the whole season. I'm slow to come around on Derek Carr because I feel like I've kind of gotten sucked in before by a couple of good games and thought, hey, maybe he's, turning a corner here. But watching him the first 2 weeks of the season, particularly this weekend, there was one particular play where he was kind of rolling out. He throws off his back foot, and it was a deep ball, and I'm like, oh, my God, like, this is going to be a pick. Like, this was a stupid throw. No, he caught Henry Ruggs. He clearly identified the high safety was too low in the box. He knew Ruggs was getting over top, and it was a perfect pass. Ruggs scores a touchdown, and it was a great play by Derek Carr, and I'm like, you gotta kind of tip your hat and be like, wow, he actually identified that. He clearly knew what was going on with the safety. He knew his personnel at that point. He knew he was throwing to, and he put the ball right where it needed to be. The Raiders are a little surprising to me. I'm trying to think on balance. I think, let me see here. I'm trying to scroll through and maybe look at, Carolina, I'll say this about Carolina. I went through their camp. I knew their defense was going to be really good. And people are going to figure that out. I don't think a lot of people are watching the Carolina Panthers, but that defense is sick. Like, it's fast. It's nasty. Got a lot of depth to it. As long as there's not injuries there, they're going to be tough in the NFC South, just to handle defensively. Darnold's a little surprising to me. He's definitely playing better than I thought. When I went through there, they're like, hey, he's getting to his second and third reads, which he wasn't doing with the Jets. I didn't know if I believed it, but he does look like he actually is starting to get to second and third reads, which is probably because he got so used to running for his life with the Jets that it was like one read and done. So now he's like, hey, I actually have a little time and can move around. And then, I hate to go back to Tom Brady, but this is like ridiculous.
Looks
like,
pretty good.
This is almost it's funny to me, and I swear there's a story here that I don't know why we're not really going after it, or we'll see if it gets fleshed out over time. But we're almost blasé about what he's accomplishing at 44, and there's nothing else to compare this to in the NFL. You can't look throughout the history of the NFL and go, hey, a guy's arm got stronger, or it looks stronger in his 40s than it did in his. Go talk to any baseball scout. Talk to most NFL scouts. They'll tell you arms get weaker. You get older, your arm gets weaker. And yet somehow this guy, he's this super unicorn. And I feel like we're a little too blasé about maybe the science behind this, maybe the. Is this really just the TB12 method? Like, is this real? Like, this is, and I'm not trying to throw shade on the guy.
What are you saying, Charles?
No, I'm actually not trying to throw shade on it. I'm trying to say that this is remarkably unique from a science standpoint that a guy could get to this point in his career. And it's not just the smarts. Everyone's like, oh, it's the smarts. No, his arm looks great, which leads me to question, like, what was going on before this? What is he doing? Like, and I'm not saying there's anything, under the table happening here. I'm just saying, like, it's a great story, however you slice it, that at 44 this guy is able to do this. And if I were any NFL team out there, if I were any quarterback guru, anybody who deals with quarterbacks, I'd be trying to figure out, like, how. What is the how behind this, and how the heck can we replicate, if we can even replicate 90% of what's going on in this guy's career, we got to figure out how we can do that and start that as early as possible with kids now that get quarterback coaches at 12,
It is unbelievable. I mean, it really is. I mean, avocado toast should only go so far, right? But
we're we've gotten to the point now where it's just like we're like, ha, that Tom man, you know, he says he could play for until he's 50, nah, and then we're like, well, but maybe, because it's Tom. Like it's just sort of interesting how we're so accustomed to him now, kind of beating the odds and doing things that make no sense to us, that we just sort of shrug and we're like, okay, well, it's just Tom, and that's how the TB12 method and Alex, Guerrero and his training regimen, and I don't know. I'm just like, wow, there's definitely a secret sauce here, and people should really be trying to figure that out, because if any team can have an immaculate quarterback and actually make them last that long, the edge that it gives you is wild.
So, Charles, real fast, Katie Rexrow did want me to she wanted to chime in on the conversation. She wanted me to remind you of the awesome convertible Mustang that you were driving 19 years ago today, because it's our 19th. So, Charles rolled in a sweet, sweet Mustang in Waynesburg, Virginia. So, good times, man.
I pulled over with the cops.
Oh, I forgot about that. Everything okay?
Post wedding, I got pulled over with a handful of bridesmaids in the Mustang.
Yeah, that was, yeah. I forgot about that part of it.
I'm glad. Well, Jerry Hearn, we could track him down. Jerry remembers. I think Jerry was there for the pullover incident.
So. Yeah, we'll have to get him on here too. Right. Let's we'll get you and Katie on here. Let's talk about the old.
Get the whole band back together.
Yeah, yeah. Right. 23-year-old Charles was a handful. So.
Charles, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, man. Good stuff as always.
All right, guys, I appreciate it. Take care.
All right, Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. We'll come back. We'll react to what Charles had to say there. Get to more of your thoughts on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Hockey is back in Smashville, and don't miss out on the 6 home games scheduled during the month of October. Nashville Predators tickets from October through February are on sale to the general public, and March single game tickets will be available starting Wednesday, September the 22nd as well. And the best way to guarantee a spot in Smashville is for all the best games is by becoming a season ticket citizen, but single game tickets are a flexible option as well. They're on sale exclusively at Ticketmaster.com. Once again, on sale exclusively at Ticketmaster.com. Are you struggling to find and retain good employees? Well, we can help. Cromwell Media invites you to attend one of our 2 free recruitment and retention seminars hosted by Chris Stonick on October the 5th or 6th. For the past 33 years, Stonick has helped hundreds of companies find newer, more cost-efficient ways to recruit qualified employees, learn new recruitment strategies, enjoy a continental breakfast, and be eligible to win door prizes. Go to thegamenashville.com/register for more info and to sign up. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrow here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. I'm looking up at the screen. We've got to let Keyshawn Johnson, we got to get him to stop talking about quarterbacks. We really do.
What's he got now?
Derek Carr, top 5 quarterback, NFL.
Oh, geez.
Top 5.
Is it Cam 4, Derek 5?
I don't know. He had Cam Newton is number 12 in the league a couple of weeks ago before he got cut and is not playing in the league. And now, apparently, Derek Carr, off the first 2 weeks, is a top 5 quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Pump the brakes. I don't think Derek Carr will at any point truly be a top 5 quarterback in the NFL. I am impressed with him. I will say that. I've always thought he was good.
Sure.
And at times, very good.
I don't think people realize what they're saying when they say top 5. You start to go through the names, and you're like, oh, would you rather have Derek Carr over Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes?
Right. Like there's like 5 to 7 that you just auto put in there before you even start talking about a Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. Meanwhile, Jared's really all just fired up. He just this Derek Henry revisionist history stuff is something else. Like, Derrick Henry, again, yes, I understand that players say things sometimes and, maybe players are being humble or whatever. They don't want – look, Derrick Henry ripped himself in the 2018 season because he was actually speaking accurately about his play. And it was the first year in a new system, which is worth remembering. But, like, he was the number three back against New England. And it's not because, like, Vrabel and LaFleur know nothing about football, okay?
They seem to be doing pretty well.
He was not playing well. Yes, he had had the big game against Kansas City in the playoff game. He'd had some moments where you're like, oh, okay, that looks like the Heisman winner, but he had not put it all together. He hadn't. And that guy and this guy are two very different people. The guy that went nuts on the Jags that night, 99-yarder and all that stuff, from then on, it's been a different player.
I don't think there's any question. And look, we've talked a lot about, you know, the Eddie George conversation that he had and what he saw on tape when he watched Derrick Henry run. We've talked ad nauseum about that. But Derrick Henry, I think confidence is part of it too. He just, once he started to play better, he became the guy. And then the natural skill set that he brings to the table takes over. I mean, it's not really, you don't have to look very far to see how hard Derrick Henry works. Go look at the videos in the offseason. I mean, the guy is constantly working to try to get better at football. And as we've said many times here today, he's just built differently. What do you think is Charles' response to the Derrick Henry all-time great running back discussion? It is difficult to have this discussion in the middle of someone's career without knowing exactly when the drop-off is going to come, whether that's next year or when he's 34. We don't have any idea when this is going to come with Derrick Henry. So it's difficult to have that conversation that way. But I do wonder, in the scenario that Charles brought up, let's say Derrick Henry goes for 2,000 again this year, and then that's it. He's still playing in the league, but he's just not the same guy moving forward. Is he a Hall of Famer? I don't know.
Yeah,
he'd be the only back in NFL history to rush for 2,000 yards twice.
Yeah, that'd be hard to overlook. But I think Charles' general reaction is probably about like the league-wide reaction, which is pump the brakes, yep. Hold on. Again, if you're here and you're watching every carry – it's a different perspective on it. I mean, Jared, during that interview, texts me, yes, mother bleep, he's a Hall of Famer if he gets a second 2,000-yard season. So, you know, the Titans fan is like, absolutely, of course he is. I mean, look, I do think that he would, but I don't think it would be like rubber stamp him in the room, you know. As Charles pointed out, this may be a moot in a couple of years. It may be moot because he's still Derrick Henry, and
yep.
You know, it's just interesting right now. The idea that you could get yourself to that level in really 3 years is pretty remarkable.
We've got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Is Derrick Henry already an all-time great running back? We'll continue that discussion. Coming up next, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in to Nashville Sounds Baseball presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans tomorrow night on 102.5 The Game as the Sounds begin their final home series of 2021 hosting Columbus, the AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Indians. It's Fan Appreciation Week at First Horizon Park, and you can enjoy $5 and $6 beers all week long. Grab tickets today. Visit NashvilleSounds.com. We'll go back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Also streaming live today and every day on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Kevin texting in. If Derrick Henry wins the rushing title again this year, it'll be three straight, matching another franchise great Titan Oiler Earl Campbell. Of course, Henry is an all-time great running back. Two consecutive rushing titles, over 2,000 yards last season.
Yeah, so I think that like we talked about earlier with like Bo Jackson, and someone brought up Marcus Dupree, but I think all-time great is a much easier case to make than Hall of Famer. So that it is two discussions, but yeah, I can't disagree with that. And like the texter said, Earl Campbell, the last guy was Emmitt Smith, 91, 2, and 3. And then before that, you go back to Earl, and I think it's Jim Brown, and basically that's it, who have done it three times in a row.
Dennis texting in, grandkid. Grandpa, when you were good, or were you good when you played in the NFL? Deion Lewis. Well, I started over Derrick Henry.
Oh, boy. And again, like, it's amazing to think back to the 2018 season. Deion Lewis was great in the Monday night win at Dallas. Derrick Henry was almost a non-factor in that game. And it was like, well, this offense just suits the quick, small, pass-catching running back. It doesn't really suit Derrick Henry. And also, he just hasn't found consistency as a pro. Great Heisman winner, and, you know, he's got some talent, but it just hasn't come together for him.
I got a text that says, I look at all-time great running backs as people like Jim Brown, Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, etc. People who have multiple rushing titles, championships, did it for a long time. Derrick Henry is nowhere near those guys' level as of yet.
Well, that's fine. I mean, so you are now talking about absolute upper crust, best of the best. And no, and I don't think anyone is arguing that. But again, we just talked about how Terrell Davis is in Canton.
Right.
So there are different tiers here. Now, if Derrick Henry does this through his contract and then gets another one and keeps doing it, then you'll look up and he'll be
right there with all those guys.
He'll be chasing those guys. But that's a lot of ifs there.
I got a texter that says Derrick Henry did not dominate against the Cardinals. He didn't even dominate the first half against Seattle. So even Derrick Henry can be fallen victim to people.
Well, yeah. And all those other backs I mentioned, they were always amazing.
Yeah.
Barry Sanders didn't get held to -1 yards rushing in a playoff game by the Packers or anything. I mean, Michael Jordan never missed a clutch shot. Man, Michael Jordan made every big shot. In fact, I don't know if he missed a shot at all.
Rainey texting in, Derrick Henry is amazing, but I miss Bishop Sankey.
there's quite a history of backs here too, but at least some good history to go with the Sankeys.
Yes, they've had a couple of running backs that have hopefully made up for that. Ron texting in, I have to be honest with what I see with Henry. The eye test and tape history, since he's been playing football, I haven't seen him take any big hits, even in his college day at Alabama. So I'm optimistic on what his career can really be. I won't worry about his load management until he really gets hit or gets hurt. And that is kind of the thing with him. Like, we've seen Derrick Henry take some big hits. I mean, he got cracked pretty good in the Steelers game last year on the goal line. But it's very rare. Like, very rarely do you see Derrick Henry just get pummeled. Usually he's the one doing the hitting, or he's at least putting himself in a position where when he's taking a hit, the hit does not appear to be that bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's true now. There's a lot of those inside runs. They're gang tackling. There has to be some kind of cumulative effect on all this stuff. There has to be. Yep. He's still a human being. But it's interesting because that was always the thing with Barry Sanders, is he was so good at avoiding big hits, but in a totally different way. Just because he was so elusive, he just had a knack for rarely getting clocked. Derrick Henry, it's more like he's the aggressor, so usually he's the one leaning on someone else, you know, and they're sort of like holding on for dear life. It's a totally different way of not taking punishment. I'm not sure, you know, we'll see. I'm not sure that, like, a game like the other day where he clearly was the dominant player on the field and they didn't want anything more to do with him, I'm still not sure that didn't leave him with, you know, some wear and tear. I would think it would have.
You would think so. JD texting in, Henry is a Canton lock currently. To be elite, next level, all-time great, a Super Bowl would help, followed by a few more rushing titles. But the man is a beast. You can't deny that. Low mileage on him thus far in his career. I think his future is bright as long as we keep a reliable old line here. So JD says he's a lock to Canton.
Again, if Derrick Henry calls a press conference today and says, guys, you know, I've loved football, but I'm getting out. I want to, you know, be whatever. I'm going into investment banking or whatever. I'm going to travel the world. I don't think he's not a lock for Canton. He's not a lock. I guess he could get in. I don't think he would get in. Again, he's in progress of getting there. Absolutely. He is on the trajectory to absolutely end up there, but he's not a lock right at this very second.
It is interesting to think about, though, because I feel like if he has another year this year, which right now he's on pace to have, we'll see what happens. It's very early into this year. But if he approaches 2,000 yards this year and the Titans make another deep run, even let's say, look, I picked the Titans to go to the Super Bowl. Let's take it a step further. The Titans win a Super Bowl this year. I think he's getting pretty close to being a lock for the Hall of Fame. You go, let's say he ends up with 1,800 yards this year. So you go 1,500 rushing title, 2027 rushing title, 1,800 yards rushing title, and the Titans win a Super Bowl this year. And he's approaching lock territory.
Yeah. No, well, right. You add another one on, a different discussion. I'm just talking about right at this moment.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. But that's why it's going to be really interesting to see how long he can do this and keep pulling this together, because I agree with the texter that says, you know, he's not Jim Brown. He's not Barry Sanders. He's not with those guys yet. A couple more years of this, he's getting closer.
He's getting into a more and more exclusive group. Jared is mad. He says, you drank your dumb juice this morning. All time,
he's mad at me, too, for not pushing back on you on the Vrabel LaFleur didn't know what they were doing comment.
Yeah.
Because they apparently tried to trade him.
Yeah, well, so add John Robinson to the mix.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the problem is you people don't want to believe that, like, players actually have to work on things or like, the light can go on or players can improve or career trajectory can change while you're in the NFL or in a professional league. But it does happen. Happens more than people want to give it credit for. It happened here. But Jared's saying all-time great is easier argument than the Hall of Fame. He says Edgerrin James is undeservedly in Canton. So when I say all-time great, like I'm not saying an easier all-time great is in a great, again, like Bo Jackson. All-time absolute top shelf? No. That's obviously a higher level than even the Hall of Fame. There are plenty of people in the Hall of Fame who aren't at that level. But when I talk about all-time great, I'm saying, I mean, he's going to be, he right now is remembered as a great running back. He will. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, that's locked in.
So all-time great, I suppose. Now we're into semantics. The Barry, Peyton, Jim Brown. I discount Emmett, but that's just me. That level is that's far away still.
JD texting in. Jared's just mad you stole some of his juice, Joe. Skiatika all the way. So Team Skiatika. People finding different uses for Skiatika on a daily basis on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's a beautiful thing.
That's some good Skiatika right there. I like replacing it for swear words.
Yes. Full Skiatika.
Yeah, yes, there you go.
Charlie from East Nashville text again. It almost feels like Derek gets better as time goes on. Give him time, and soon enough, he'll be a lock. It does kind of feel like he's getting better, and that's a scary thought.
Well, he's definitely better as a pass catcher. I think we just saw that Sunday. And look, the guy works on it. Like, really hard. He works on, and it's sometimes you watch it and it's like, dude, you're not going to be catching any passes. But guess what? They use them that way, and I say, keep doing that.
Yeah.
Whenever you can sneak it in, it's a nice element. But no, he's, I didn't even think he was, you know, bad in the opening week. But again, that's another example of this is a team game, too. But I didn't come away from that thinking he stunk. Now, some people thought, oh, Julio Jones stinks after the first week because he didn't have numbers. Derrick Henry didn't have numbers. I think we just saw that they're both pretty good.
When we come back, we'll get to my favorite moment that happened in week two over the weekend in the NFL. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. We'll get to that coming up next. Also have some tickets to give away as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got some tickets to give away to see Nashville SC take on Orlando coming up at Nissan Stadium next Wednesday, September the 29th. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a family four-pack of tickets to see Nashville SC take on Orlando at Nissan Stadium coming up on Wednesday, September 29th. So hit up those phone dialing fingers on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic has put up a poll question. At 102.5 The Game on Twitter, is Derrick Henry an all-time great running back? 300 votes are in, 72% say 100% yes, 28% say not yet. So the people have spoken. 72% say 100% Derrick Henry, an all-time great running back.
Okay. Not surprised. And again, it's how you define it.
Sure.
But he's done enough that he will be talked about many years down the road.
And who knows? We could have a few more stiff arms in effect this year. I mean, the Josh Norman one by itself will be replayed for years.
Yeah. And,
when the day comes that Derrick Henry gets a statue in front of Nissan Stadium, which I think is very well in the realm of possibility, like the Josh Norman stiff arm needs to be the statue.
I agree.
What it needs to be.
An airborne, completely horizontal Josh Norman needs to be part of the statue.
And that need to have Norman written on the back of it so he can just see it.
That would be difficult for a sculptor to, you know, you have to like levitate a big part of the sculpture.
But I have faith.
I think it's worthwhile. I think it's got to be. This franchise, Derrick Henry, Chris Johnson, Eddie George.
Earl Campbell.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
I would like to see, a ranking of franchises, great running backs, and certainly automatically you think of Emmitt and Tony Dorsett.
NFL Network did this over the summer.
Did they?
I mean, the Titans, they're right up there, man.
Where'd they have them?
I mean, they didn't really rank them. It was just all kind of like which franchises belong in the conversation with the Titans. Because
how did they not rank them? We rank everything now.
I know.
Huh.
I didn't see that. They may have ranked them. I just didn't see it if they did. But I saw them talking about it because, Chris Johnson had a tweet over the summer about, hey, maybe the Titans have the best running back in NFL history with him, Derrick Henry, Eddie George, Earl Campbell.
The only franchise with two 2000ers.
That is correct.
Right? Yeah. So that's something.
I would say so. Joe, let's get to my favorite moment from week two in the NFL. And I've been wanting to play this for the last 4 hours, and we just haven't had enough time to do it. But we're going to do it right now. And you heard Charles bring this up earlier this hour. Minnesota, I thought, actually played pretty well against Arizona for the most part in week two and set themselves up for what was going to be a Greg Joseph game-winning field goal. Greg Joseph, of course, formerly of the Tennessee Titans. And for a moment, it sounded like Greg Joseph had made the kick and had sent Minnesota to a 1-1 record with the greatest radio call that I heard over the weekend that brought me an intense amount of joy. Here was the radio call from the Vikings radio network for Greg Joseph in his attempt to win the game for the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone! No, he missed it.
That's no good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Oh, my heavens.
Oh, my.
He missed it right.
What a gut punch to a team, Paul, that play after play, toward the end, fought its way back.
Oh, missed it by like a foot.
And just,
oh, my God.
Wow, man.
It's good! Oh, wait, no.
No, never mind.
I love how like halfway through it, though, like he missed it by about a foot. I was like, well, go watch the replay. He missed it by about 4 yards to the right. It was not overly close.
I'm assuming there was there like some celebration? You know what I mean? Because sometimes you're looking for the reaction of the sideline or the players in the field.
I mean, I didn't see anything from the players that indicated that they thought that ball was going through the uprights.
Man, he was just – I mean, I'm sure he was just like, there's no way he's going to miss this, right? Whew. Well, hey, you don't get a do-over in that realm, right? Just keep plugging away.
Look, I appreciate the intensity. Because, look, there was some passion. He brought it.
Good or not.
the going from 100 to 0 quickly when he realized it was no good was also amazing.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
That was like Kyler Murray in the pocket.
Yeah.
The quick hops.
And it is. There's a little bit of part of me that's excited that it happened to Minnesota. That's good stuff.
I tweeted the video, too, so you can see how off the kick was on the account. So you can go look at it.
At 102.5 The Game on Twitter.
Correct.
It was not overly close. I mean, it was one of those where you kind of knew as soon as the ball came off his foot that was probably going to be wide right. And it was.
Yeah.
God!
No,
I heard Willie and Darren talking about this yesterday, which allowed me to find this clip. Just amazing. First off, thank you, Willie and Darren. But Willie, he's play-by-play guy, and he knows, like, sometimes things happen.
You got to know.
And you just, you're going to look dumb sometimes on play-by-play. Everybody does it. You know, in hockey, when you've got 19 people in the goal crease and you can't tell whether or not the puck's gone in, sometimes you miss stuff. Sometimes you miss stuff in football.
The light is there to help you.
The light is there to help you. But sometimes the light goes on, it's not in.
That's
right. I mean, there are things that you're going to miss. That one, I don't really know what he was looking at on that one.
He was just really ready for it to be good. Andrew on Twitter.
Can you imagine being a Vikings fan, like driving down the road, listening to that, and you're like, yes!
No!
We did it! Oh, no.
Yeah, hopefully not going too fast. Jeez.
That's a tough one.
Andrew on Twitter, I love Derrick Henry, but come on, y'all are already putting him in the elite class of Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders and O.J. Simpson. So that's the thing. It's how you define, is he an all-time great running back? Does that mean you have to be in the top three or four of all of them? I didn't necessarily take it that way,
no.
But some people are. And that's what, you know, those, it's all very subjective.
Right. Like, you know, it's like the quarterback list. John Elway is an all-time great quarterback. Brett Favre is an all-time great quarterback. There are some people who don't have Brett Favre in the top five quarterbacks. Does that mean he's not an all-time great?
Right.
I'd still say he's an all-time great.
Yeah, how big is the club? How exclusive is the club that qualifies to be, quote, all-time great? I would put it bigger at running back than three guys. And by the way, I understand Emmitt Smith. Emmitt Smith is not Barry Sanders or Walter Payton.
Yes.
Or O.J. Simpson, but, you know, I digress. Or Jim Brown.
Or, are you going to go Derrick Henry?
Or Derrick Henry. No.
Ron texting in. All right, Joe, if Henry calls it quits today, then I think he falls in the same category as Calvin Johnson, equal or greater than, in my opinion.
Yeah, what I mean, well,
Calvin Johnson's pretty good.
Yeah, and Calvin, you know, got in and should have. I mean, it really is just come down to, and Calvin Johnson, I would say, like Derrick Henry, the best receiver in the game for probably a little bit longer stretch than Derrick Henry. I mean, you're talking about a 1,700-yard season, a 1964, a 1,492, you know, 11, 12, 13 range. And you're talking about six straight seasons with 1,000, and it would have been eight straight seasons with 1,000 yards or more. He was 16 yards short playing two games, missing two games in 2009. So you're talking about, you know, 11,619 receiving yards, 83 receiving touchdowns. So, no. Now, look, I think Derrick Henry is building something like that at running back.
But if it ended today.
But it is ultimately, it's an accumulation thing too.
Right. Dennis texting in says, I remember the Colts radio doing the reverse on the Barona 60-yarder. They said he missed it and someone had to tell him that it went through. That one was close. The Rob Barona 60-yarder against the Colts here at Nissan Stadium.
So that was that Mike? Mike Keith?
He said no, he's done the Colts radio broadcast.
Oh, Colts radio. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They said he missed it.
So it was like, no good. Oh, it's good.
I couldn't really tell from my – I was on the back row of Nissan Stadium that day.
Really?
I mean, if it was going to rain, I'd be the first one to know. And I couldn't really tell if it went in or not. But then the crowd went nuts, so I just assumed it went in. And it did.
He was a great kicker. He was. Great kicker.
Kicker used to not be a problem for this team. They've had some good ones over the years. It's not anymore.
You got beef with Randy Bullock?
I have no beef with Randy Bullock. I'm pulling like heck for Randy Bullock to be the kicker on this team.
He walked in. I'm not kidding. He walked in the press room the other day. I was like, what's this dude doing up there at the podium? Oh, that's Randy
that's
Bullock.
Randy Bullock. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.